Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember the resources that I talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. There are essentially three building blocks of civil society. I've talked about them before. Marriage, church, government, all resting atop the foundation of human life. And of the three, none is more significant than marriage. According to a consensus of sociological metrics, women and men enjoy strategic complementarity, and as such, both are essential in the rearing of children. The biological reality is that sexual reproduction requires a male and a female. We ought to recognize that every organ in the human body is self-sufficient to perform its intended function except for one. Natural reproduction always requires a coupling of male and female. And marriage protects this powerful reproductive part of our natures. It's not too much to say that redefining marriage has opened Pandora's box and that it spells the death knell to civil society. Not only that, but redefining marriage erodes the rational basis for rejecting aberrations ranging from, well, from group marriage and polygamy to incest. Of course, the U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage has not only undermined the foundation of human civilization, but has opened Pandora's grisly box. And here's one example. Tuesday, the California State Senate Judiciary Committee passed a bill by a 4-2 vote that we've been talking about on the broadcast for some time now. That bill, it sailed through the California Assembly back in April, 50-18. The bill I'm referring to is the infamous AB 2943 that was co-written by State Assemblyman Evan Lowe and by State Senator Scott Wiener, both members of the California LGBT Caucus. And according to State Senator Hannah Beth Jackson, and I'm quoting her here, there is overwhelming medical evidence that sexual orientation cannot be changed and that this amended bill only targets services and not goods such as books. Well, here to discuss the state of the bill and its ramifications is Joe Dallas. He's Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. It's a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, with homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. He's a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors and is the author of many books that you can find on the web at equip.org, including Desires in Conflict, The Gay Gospel, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, and The Game Plan, one of my favorites, Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. And most recently, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and with Clarity. I've often said that no one understands the subject of same-sex sexuality, of gender fluidity, and sex in general than my good friend Joe Dallas. And I'm not speaking merely of Joe's formidable knowledge of the truth, but also the wisdom of its application through crystal clear and concise communication. Joe, it's good to have you on the broadcast.
Good being with you again, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I know that you're going through it, particularly with the ramifications of this bill. And the first question I want to ask you, Joe, is what Senator Jackson is saying is seems to me outrageous. Is it really so? In other words, is there overwhelming medical evidence that sexual orientation cannot be changed?
No, and there are two problems with the statement that he made. First, there is not overwhelming evidence. As a matter of fact, the evidence points to the fact that sexual orientation, if we define that as our feelings, Hank, our sexual responses either to the opposite sex or to the same sex or to both sexes, are often much more fluid than the categories we tend to put them in. We tend to think of people these days as either gay or straight or bisexual or transsexual, but actually sexual feelings, that is the responses we have to the same or the opposite sex, they will often change over time, particularly if we simply say no to one option and only remain open to another. That is exactly what happened to me back in 1984. I had a spiritual crisis over my own homosexuality. I had no intention of simply changing my sexual orientation. I was repenting of a sin, of a behavior which was clearly outside of God's will. When I repented of that, I said to the Lord, my life's in your hands. If you would be pleased to bring a woman into my life to marry, fine. If I'm to live a single and celibate life, fine. Your will be done. And having closed the door on the option of homosexuality, I did indeed find some years later that I had fallen very deeply in love with a woman who I was responding to physically and emotionally, and she has been my wife for 31 years now. So first, I do not believe the evidence is overwhelming. Secondly, the way sexual orientation is defined in this bill, AB 2943 in California, it includes behaviors. In other words, the bill prohibits sexual orientation change efforts to change either behaviors or gender expressions or sexual feelings. Now, Hank, this addition of the term behaviors is a new twist on all of this, because now the powers that be are basically saying not only can your sexual feelings not change, even your sexual behaviors are fixed. And if you think of the ramifications of that, they're pretty profound. According to this bill, if I, as a pastoral counselor, charged a rate for a man coming to me who said, hey, I'm a Christian man, I am married, but I have been having sex with men on the sly. I want to protect my marriage. I do not want to commit adultery. I want you to help me to stay faithful to my wife. Under this bill, I would have to say to him, sorry, I cannot help you do that, because that would mean changing your homosexual behavior, and to do so would be to commit fraud. Now, that's extraordinary, but that is what the wording of the bill says.
You've been very transparent about your own past and your own engagement in the homosexual lifestyle. Is that still a temptation for you? In other words, once you marry someone, is it now one of those things that's in your past, or do you still have to guard against it?
I have to guard against it. And I believe whenever we repent of any life-dominating sin, especially of a sexual type, we should be prepared for temptations that may arise. I would have to say it is not so much a matter of them arising all these years later as it is a matter of the possibility of them arising. And I do think, Hank, there are circumstances I could walk into that could stir those temptations up again. So for obvious reasons, I avoid those circumstances. But I feel strongly about this. There is no guarantee in the Bible that if we repent of a sin, we will never again be tempted towards it. So those of us who minister to people who are struggling with same-sex attraction, we do not tell them, hey, if you follow a certain formula, you will lose all temptations. We are there to help people be better equipped to deal with their temptations when they come up, if they come up, and also to explore their potential for an opposite sex response. Now, Hank, some people repent of homosexual behavior and find that they are never attracted to someone of the opposite sex. They live celibate, Christ-centered lives. I would have to say most I have known who repent of it do move on to marriage, because I happen to believe most of us are wired for marriage and not celibacy. But really, we can't say that one is more successful than the other. When we are living obediently, we are transformed and successful. Whether temptations may be present, whether we still feel a lack of the kind of responses we would like to feel, if we are living obedient, Christ-centered lives, that is a transformation, and it is both the height of arrogance for the government to step in and say that we may not assist people in doing that unless we do it for free. Remember, Hank, this bill classifies sexual orientation change efforts under consumer fraud limitations. So I can, as a counselor, continue to see my clients. I may no longer charge them for my services according to this bill. Well, I am going to continue seeing my clients. I'm not going to dump them just because I cannot charge. But still, it is a vast overreach of the state government to step in and interfere with a very fair and reasonable service that many of us are offering to people who are in conflict over their sexual orientation.
Yeah, I want to go back for a moment to Senator Hannah Beth Jackson. Is she right in saying that the amended bill only targets services and not goods such as your books?
Well, that's not the wording of it. If anybody who is listening can simply look up AB 2943 and read for yourself, where it says that these regulations cover chattels, and the definition of chattels is goods. Properties for sale, that would include a book or a physical item. So I think it is less than honest to present this bill as being something that would not prohibit the sale of books. It would prohibit the sale of books. Technically, Hank, it would prohibit the sale of the Bible, although not for a minute do I think California is going to ban the sale of the Bible. I really don't. But it does prohibit the sale of goods, chattel, properties for sale that advocate sexual orientation change. Now, the Bible, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 12, does advocate for the change of a homosexual who has been involved in that sin. Paul refers to former homosexuals in the church of Corinth, saying that such were some of you. That is advocacy for change and transformation. So if they were operating with integrity, the senators supporting this bill should support a banning the sale of the Bible in California. That is, of course, too radical a thing to even attempt at this time, so they're not going to. But according to the letter of this bill, they should.
Talking to Joe Dallas, when I come back from the break and when I ask Joe what's next for AB 2943, what his prognostications are in this regard. And we're going to talk about a dramatic infringement on First Amendment rights. All of that and much, much more as I continue my conversation with Joe Dallas. Again, we're discussing a bill that just Tuesday passed and is now in the state where it's going to become law. So first, by a 4-2 vote, the Judiciary Committee passed this bill, and now we're looking at what the future of this bill is. We're going to talk about that a little more again when we come back from the break. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This is a strategic month. This is the end of our fiscal year, and we're asking people to give liberally and generously. If God has given you some resources that you can invest in this ministry, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also pick up the phone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. The issues that we deal with on this broadcast are cutting edge, as you can ascertain from the discussion with Joe Dallas today. Again, I'll be right back in just a few moments. So please, don't touch that dial.
Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more, is made possible only because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
In recent years, atheists have forwarded virulent criticisms against Christianity, claiming that they have a more enlightened, scientific, and sophisticated worldview. Despite what these atheists might think, their verbal assaults are nothing new. In his book, Atheism on Trial, Dr. Louis Marcos confronts these recycled claims and shows that they have already been disproven by Christian thinkers of the past. And you can use the same logic to silence these claims today. Are you ready to put atheism on trial? Get equipped with answers to the tough questions about your faith and speak with confidence, knowing that the trial of public opinion versus universal truth has already been held and Christ is the victor. To receive your copy of Atheism on Trial, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app
and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Just as the value of vaccines increases during the outbreak of a deadly disease, when assaults on our faith and freedoms mount, the outreaches of CRI become even more critical. That in turn makes believers like you, those who are willing to stand up and speak up, all the more crucial. Very simply, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing that CRI does that would be possible without partners like you. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Tuesday, June 12th, the day before yesterday, the California State Senate Judiciary Committee passed AB 2943, and now it has been sent to the floor of the State Senate. I'm talking about the ramifications of this bill with Joe Dallas. Joe is the Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. This is, as I mentioned at the opening of the show today, a Christian counseling service to men who are dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. Joe is the author of a slew of books, and they're all terrific. You can find them on the web at equip.org, and you can choose any one of these resources as my way of saying thank you for your support today. The book Desires in Conflict, The Gay Gospel, subtitled, by the way, How Pro-Gay Advocates Misread the Bible, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, most recently, his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. And Joe has been a friend of the broadcast. I've been hosting him for some 30 years now, and no one knows more about this subject than Joe Dallas. Joe, give us a quick overview of the bill in case people tuned in late.
Yes, Assembly Bill 2943, a California bill, has been voted on first by the California Assembly, who passed it. Now it has been passed by the Senate Judiciary Committee. I was just speaking with Attorney Brad Dakish yesterday, and he tells me at this point they're anticipating a Senate vote on it in August of this year. Now, California, like all states, has Consumer Fraud Protection Acts in place. This bill seeks to place any efforts to change a person's sexual orientation under the category of consumer fraud. You cannot charge for something that is considered to be fraudulent. As a pastoral counselor who counsels people who want to overcome homosexuality, this bill would place me and any counselor who does work similar to mine under the category of someone who is fraudulently practicing unless we offer our services for free. You mentioned the First Amendment, Hank, which I think is vital to this discussion. My wife and I happen to be in Washington, D.C. right now, and on the way back to our hotel, I passed a building where there is a large printing of the First Amendment saying specifically that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, in any religious belief, and I'm using the term religion loosely, I don't like it actually as being applied to Christianity. Christianity is about our relationship with Christ. But in essence, where you have the concept of religion, you have the concept of sin. Not only the Christian faith, but all major faiths teach that there is such a thing as sin, and certainly biblical Christianity recognizes that anything falling short of God's will is a sin. If you believe something is a sin, if you hold a biblical worldview, you must believe that sin by God's grace can be overcome. The sinful behavior can be repented of. if sinful temptations arise, they can be resisted, and the temptations will lose their power over your life. You cannot have the one without the other. If people are allowed to say that something is a sin, they must also be allowed to exercise, as part of their faith, their belief that the sin can be overcome. This bill steps in and says no to that part of the exercise of our religion. It tells us that we may continue to adhere to the first part. We may say that homosexuality is a sin. But when it comes to assisting someone who wants to overcome homosexuality, our hands as counselors are tied. We may no longer charge for those services. As I said earlier, Hank, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm not going to dump my clients just because the law says I can't charge them. But it does obviously restrict my ability to support my family. And I've often said, when my bank and the grocery store and the government itself no longer cares whether or not I pay them, I'll be glad not to charge for anything I do. But the reality is, a part of the freedom to exercise our faith also includes free trade, the freedom to buy or sell Christian books, the freedom to buy or sell services from Christians, whether through counseling or consultation or a webinar or a conference or a seminar. The government is now encroaching on those freedoms, and this is why California Assembly Bill 2943 should be of concern to every believer in the U.S., because, of course, it is not going to stop at California, and it's certainly not going to stop at simply offering paid counseling services to people wanting to overcome homosexuality. This is only the beginning of the government telling the church what it may or may not express, live out, or teach regarding the definition of the family.
It simply seems incredible, Joe, that what's going on with this bill is the placing of sexual orientation change efforts in the same category as consumer fraud. It's hard to wrap your mind around that.
It is. Now, Hank, I'll be the first to recognize that over the decades, people who have treated homosexuality, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors of all sorts, there have been times they have done some horrific things. And so there are people who will say, hey, years ago, I went to a psychiatrist because I wanted to overcome homosexuality, and I was put through shock treatment, or I was given exotic medications, or I was put through some sort of weird aversion therapy. And that has happened in the past. But it is wildly unfair, first of all, to assume that everyone who, as a pastoral counselor or ministry leader or group leader or facilitator, everyone who helps someone overcome homosexuality is practicing some fancy psychiatric intervention. Secondly, it is wildly unfair to assume that everybody who is even offering psychological services, as opposed to strictly biblical ones, is operating with the use of shock treatment and aversion therapy. I have to say, Hank, there are a number of people who have said they have gone through conversion therapy, Christian camps, or gone to a Christian conversion therapist who tried to change them from gay to straight using electroshock therapy or other bizarre techniques. And yet, when pressed for the specifics as to who exactly did this and when and where, why, it's been found that they're unwilling to come forward and say exactly who did it and when and where. And it seems obvious that many of these stories are actually false. However, giving the benefit of the doubt to the people who make these claims, let me say this. In the past, psychiatry often treated depression with shock treatment. It treated hysteria with different forms of mutilation. It treated affect disorders with lobotomies, for heaven's sake. Now, what was the problem there? The fact that psychiatry was treating these conditions, or the way they were treating these conditions? We have not outlawed the practice of treating depression or affect disorders just because in the past some people have treated them in bizarre ways. And the same is true of efforts to change sexual orientation. If someone who practices counseling, whether secular or Christian, has behaved unethically or has introduced bizarre and physically damaging techniques to the client, of course that person should be disciplined, possibly even subject to legal action. But to, in essence, broadly brushstroke all ministers, pastoral counselors, licensed therapists who help people overcome homosexuality as practicing a damaging form of therapy is wildly inaccurate and very unfair.
Comment on Assemblymember Al Moretsuchi's declaration that it's time for the faith community to evolve with the times.
Well, I appreciated the honesty, Hank. To be clear, so many people who support this bill have said, oh, for heaven's sake, we respect the rights of religious people. We respect the rights of you Christians. Nobody's going to trample on your rights. At least this person openly expressed what I believe many of them think, and that is, hey, you people need to change. And this is indeed the pressure the church is feeling. The bill is an expression of the growing contempt our culture has for those who hold the biblical view on human sexuality. And so what the assembly person there expressed was what I really believe is the silent belief of many lawmakers, of many cultural influencers, and that is we need to change the mind of these evangelical, born-again, fundamentalists, whatever you want to call us, Christians who hold these backwards views about the families. And that is the end goal in this. It is not just to outlaw charging professional services or pastoral services for helping someone overcome homosexuality. It is eventually, through force of law if need be, to convert the church's position or silence the church's position on something, as you said, Hank, which is a fundamental aspect of biblical doctrine, and that is the definition of the family.
When we come back from the break, when I ask Joe about something that I read last week at the Connecticut State Open Track and Field Championships, new state records were set in the girls' 100 and 200-meter runs. The records were set by a transgender girl, in other words, a biological boy who identifies as a girl. This seems unthinkable. I want to discuss all of that and much, much more with Joe Dallas as we continue our discussion on the ramifications of a bill that just passed by a 4-2 vote through the California State Senate Judiciary Committee. We're talking about AB 2943. Again, back in just a few moments with my guest, Joe Dallas. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Go to the website at equip.org and look up Joe's books. There's sure to be a book there that you need in your library. Pick any one of them out, and I'll send it to you as my gift for your support this month. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, I'll be back with more of Joe Dallas and the quote of the day. Guess who that quote is going to be by?
In our post-truth age of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with answers has never been greater. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide those answers, and this provision is made possible only by people like you. People unafraid to stand up for truth while it's under assault. People like you whose contributions to our many outreaches are making a difference for time and eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
Why do we exist? Why does anything at all exist? The question of cosmic origins and our place in the grand scheme of things has been debated for millennia. Today's popular narrative is that it all happened by purposeless, unguided natural processes. In her book, Science and the Mind of the Maker, Melissa Kane Travis offers powerful evidence that just the opposite is true, that cosmology, astronomy, biochemistry, and other disciplines strongly support what she calls the Maker Thesis, which explains the origin, rationality, and intricacy of nature and the human mind's capacity to comprehend it. Find out what the conversation between Christian faith and science reveals about our Maker. To receive Science and the Mind of the Maker, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Because an increasingly militant, intolerant, and hostile secularism would love to silence the voice of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we ask you to do all you can this month to help us turn up the volume. We are deeply grateful for your partnership at this critical time as we strive to stand courageously for life and truth. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end our financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The quote of the day by Joe Dallas. Joe is director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California, as the author of multiple books on human sexuality, including The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, and his most recent book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and with Clarity. Joe writes, saying I'm a Christian and gay proves nothing. The question shouldn't be, can a person be homosexual and still belong to God? But rather, is homosexuality right or wrong according to the Bible? Joe, I think this is a classic case of turning the table by asking the real question.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I think, Hank, that we are seeing a demand that we revise our understanding of the Bible, and if we do not revise our understanding of the Bible, we must be silenced. I was interested in rereading the 2015 Obergefell decision, which Justice Kennedy wrote for the Supreme Court when it essentially green-lighted same-sex marriage in America. Justice Kennedy said, and I quote, "The First Amendment ensures that religious organizations and persons are given proper protection as they seek to teach the principles that are so fulfilling and so central to their lives and faiths and to their own deep aspirations to continue the family structure they have long revered. All we are asking as citizens of this nation is for the right to do exactly what Justice Kennedy had guaranteed us in his decision that the First Amendment would allow us to do. And that is to be given proper protection as we seek to teach the principles that are so fulfilling and so central to our faith. One of which is that God's intention for the marital union is that it be male to female, and that anything falling short of that is the definition of sin."
You know, before the break, I was mentioning that I read last week that at the Connecticut State Open Track and Field Championships, new state records were set in both the girls' 100 and 200 meter runs, and the records were set by a transgender girl, and the second place finisher, by the way, in the 100 meters was also a transgender girl, a biological boy. And while the transgender girls advanced to the New England Championships, they of course knock out biological girls from advancing. That seems unthinkable.
Hank, I've been saying a lot lately, we used to say the times are licentious, the times are immoral. I think now we have advanced from a time of licentiousness and immorality to a time of madness. We have entered in our nation into a time of absolute madness. This is a time when a male can declare himself to be female and demand that that declaration not only be recognized by those around him, but even legally validated to the extent that he may now compete with women on the athletic field. He may share dressing and showering facilities with biological women. And in his workplace, he must be recognized and addressed as he wishes to be recognized and addressed, or the company itself can be subject to lawsuits. Like I said, it's not just that the times are immoral, they're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, there's this part of me that really struggles with this issue. And what I mean, Joe, and you know more about this than anyone on the planet, you have people who are now determining their sexual orientation on the basis of not biology, but their feeling. They make a radical decision to change their gender and all that entails. And then years later, they regret it. But they have already been damaged in the most intractable fashion. And so my heart goes out to those people on the one hand. On the other hand, you have this iron boot that's crushing all opposition, and in the midst of all of that, we have to deal with the subject with gentleness, with clarity, and with respect.
Yes, I think there are very few issues, Hank, and I mean this very seriously and very soberly, so let me say it slowly. There are very few issues that will challenge our capacity to love, to show gentleness, to show respect, to not repay evil for evil, to not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Very few issues will test us on all those counts the way this issue will. And my honest opinion, much as I hate to say it, is that it will only get worse. I think we will need to be well prepared, not only to speak truth clearly in a time when truth is not just controversial now, it evokes a response that borders on violence. But we will need to be prepared not only to speak truth plainly, but to seek God to maintain the proper attitude towards the people who are going to attempt in every way to either convert or silence us and oppress us and literally persecute us for holding those opinions.
Is it fair?
And it will be tempting to really lash out in kind, which we cannot do.
Yeah. Joe, is it fair to say that we're being crushed by the LGBTQI boot in part because of the rampant inability among Christians to speak effectively about this subject?
Well, I think that is a part of it. I think that too many of us have been intimidated into silence. Too many of us have not been intimidated, but have been emboldened to act like jerks. Some very irresponsible, very appalling things have been said by Christians on the subject of homosexuality. That is true. So I think that the improper response or lack of response from the church has contributed to the problem. But I cannot in good conscience just blame the church for the problem. I think it is the direction that the culture is going and would continue to go regardless. Although I will say this, Hank, I often just kind of daydream, what if it had been different? What if back in the 1950s, Hank, the body of Christ had shown love to homosexual people when the whole world despised them, when nobody wanted them, when they were the ultimate outcast, when they could be violated, humiliated, arrested for no good reason, beaten up in the streets, and everybody would applaud. When they were the lepers, what if we had loved them? And what if they, from the beginning, had seen the church as a group of people who genuinely cared about them, wanted them to come to life in Jesus Christ, welcomed them into our sanctuaries, showed them consideration and respect when so few people were doing that? I have to wonder how many of them would have come to Christ, how many of them would have, even if they had not come to Christ, seen the church as a place of love and respect. But instead, the church at that time had a worldly view of homosexuals, which was, they're a bunch of perverts who needs them. And I'm afraid that in 2018, much of the church is again adopting a worldly view of homosexuality, but now on the permissive end.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, the sea change is almost beyond comprehension. But what you just said evokes a question in me, and that is, asking you to discuss Christians who are so often prone to cling to stereotypes as opposed to simply maintaining a biblical perspective.
Exactly, because Hank, it's one thing, just for example, to recognize the Bible clearly prohibits adultery. I don't see anything ambiguous about that, okay? Now, I don't need to offer you a lot of stereotypes about adulterers. I don't have to say all adulterers commit adultery 100 times a week. All adulterers are also pedophiles. All adulterers are left-leaning communists. Why don't I need to do that? Well, first, it's not true. And secondly, adultery is a sin no matter who commits it or how they commit it. There's no such thing as good adultery or worse adultery. It's all bad. The same is true of homosexuality. You don't have to resort to stereotypes about homosexuals in order to condemn the sin of homosexuality. Now, the reality is homosexuals are not pedophiles. There are, of course, people who are both homosexuals and pedophiles. That is true. But by and large, the average person who is attracted to the same sex is attracted to adults of the same sex, not to children. Not all homosexuals are promiscuous. Not all homosexuals are flamboyant. I must say, not even all homosexuals are not even necessarily politically liberal. There are politically conservative lesbian women and homosexual men. So there is no stereotype that will hold true in every case, and there is no need for stereotypes. Sin is sin. There is no need to draw conclusions about the type of person who sinned. The sin itself is what is condemned.
What are the rules of engagement in discussing all of these matters with the LGBTQI community?
Well, we do need to be clear, don't we, Hank? If we're not going to be clear, then we're not going to be of any use. And let me harp on that for just a minute, if I may. There has been a trend within the modern church towards ambiguity on this. I have heard a number of Christian leaders say, let's just love on the lesbians and gays and transsexuals. Let's just treat them nicely when they come to church and let the Holy Spirit do His work. It's our job just to love on them, and it's God's job to teach them and to change them. Now, this to me is a very unbiblical view of the church's function. If the church's view, or rather I should say, if the church's role was to just love on people, then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and Peter was emboldened to preach that seminal sermon in church history, Peter would have stood up and said to the crowd, it's so nice to see all of you here. Let's sit down and get to know each other. We think you're wonderful. We think you're beautiful. We affirm you and we celebrate our diversity here. That is not what he said. Why? Because Christ commissioned the church to preach the gospel and to make disciples. You cannot preach the gospel without preaching truth. You cannot make disciples without having standards that you teach those disciples to live to. So we must be clear.
Joe Dallas, again, he's Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. Thanks so much, Joe.
Always a pleasure.
And his books available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You'll see all of his books there. Any one you can pick out as my way of saying thank you for your gift this month. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. And thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
In the centuries since Jesus walked among our ancestors, people have sought to make sense of our Savior. The earliest Christian and secular sources show a complex, multi-layered figure who impacted lives and changed the trajectory of history. In his book, A Doubter's Guide to Jesus, John Dixon dives into the Bible and beyond to examine the earliest historical writings and to present 12 distinct portraits of Jesus, including portraits of Jesus as teacher, healer, Israel, Christ, temple, Savior, and much more. Whether you have known and loved the Lord Jesus for decades or are considering his relevance for the first time, you'll find this book an intriguing and quite likely belief-altering experience. To receive your copy of A Doubter's Guide to Jesus, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.